and singing in honor of your name. Lord Jesus, we do thank you so much that you came and you bled and died for us. We're so thankful that you will hold us fast no matter what. Lord God, as we come today, we want to honor your name through the proclamation of your word, through how we hear it, receive it, and how we choose to live it. Lord, I pray by your grace you would help us to have the ears to hear it, the hearts to submit and obey it. Lord, help me by your grace, help me by your spirit to prepare me to speak forth your truth, to glorify your name. We ask all this in our Savior's name, amen. Beloved, if you have your Bible this morning, I want you to join me once again in the Gospel of Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 11 this morning, where we want to rejoin our extensive expositional study through the Gospel of Luke. In Luke chapter 11, we're going to look in verses 1 through 13, where over the next several weeks, Lord willing, we'll be studying these verses together. So follow along as I read this section of Scripture to you. Luke 11 and verse 1. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him." From inside he answers and says, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" I'm sure all of you could see with your own eyes and hear with your own ears the subject we're going to be studying over the next several weeks together is going to be the subject of prayer as we listen and learn from our Savior. And how appropriate and how providential it is, this timing, by our Lord for us to consider this, since we just completed a several weeks study on how to read and understand and interpret the Bible. Because in reading and understanding the Bible, as we know, that's when God is communicating and talking with us. It's through His Word. And now when we come to this essential discipline of prayer, this is about our communicating now and talking back to God. Our talking to God. This is an essential discipline that we all need in our walk in relationship with the Lord, the discipline of prayer. And as your pastor, I want to shepherd you by teaching you about prayer and praying just as much as I want to help you in growing in your reading and understanding of the Bible. These are two of the most critical disciplines for our growth in Christ. Reading the Bible and prayer, whether for our lives personally or if for us corporately. Now, again, I know when we come to the subject of prayer, just bringing up the topic for all of us, more than likely, including myself, we always will feel that we come up short. This is definitely one of the disciplines we need to strengthen in our life. And I hope through this study together, God will do that in all of our lives. And who better to teach us than the Lord Jesus Christ himself? Now, in this section of scripture I just read, in chapter 11, from verses 1 to 13, the Lord's going to teach us, I call, four lessons on prayer. Four vital lessons about prayer, or four vital lessons in praying. And in doing so, let me give you those four. Three of them we're going to cover today, and then the weeks after that will be the fourth one. The three we will cover today, the lessons, will be the lesson on the practice of prayer. Secondly, on the pursuit of prayer. And then thirdly, on the place of prayer. And we're going to find all of those this morning in verse 1. Then, fourthly, I'm going to introduce to you the fourth and final lesson, and that is the principles of prayer. And that's what the Lord gives to us from verses 2 down to verse 13. So we're going to learn about the practice, the pursuit, the place, and then the principles of prayer that God wants us to have in our life and our walk with Him. So let's start with the first lesson this morning on the practice of prayer, or you could even call it the pattern of prayer. Look back again in verse 1. He says, it happened. It just happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place and after he had finished. Notice Luke doesn't indicate for us when exactly this situation occurred. He just says it just happened. And he does that often because he's saying this is just a normal now occurrence in the life of Christ. Because you see, it doesn't matter when exactly it happened because it was the practice and it was the pattern of Jesus to pray. It was the practice of Jesus to pray alone, and it was the practice of Jesus to pray with his disciples. Luke has already shown us this, and that this was his habit, his practice, his pattern, to get alone with the Father and pray. As a reminder of that, go back with me for just a moment. Let's start back in chapter 3 of Luke. Go back to Luke chapter 3. And remember in verse 21, when we come to the baptism of Jesus, it says, now, and when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized, and while he was praying. So even here at his baptism, we find on this special occasion, Jesus was praying. Then look over in chapter 4. At the end of chapter 4, in verse 42, it says that when day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. And we know that when he would go to these secluded places, what was he going to do? He was going to pray and spend time alone with his Father. We know that because you get into chapter 5 for just a moment and look in verse 16 where it says there, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. The pattern of his life, the practice of his life. Look in chapter 6 for a moment, verse 12. When Jesus is getting ready to choose the 12 apostles, it tells us it was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. Even in chapter 9, look over there for a moment. In chapter 9, in verse 29, at the Transfiguration, remember what Jesus was doing when that occurred? While he was praying. Remember, he took three of his disciples with him, Peter, James, and John, and he goes up on the mountain and he is there, and while he is praying, it's when this event happened. Beloved, I just go back through that to let you know this was the practice, this was the pattern of Jesus. So when it just says it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, that eventually one of his disciples comes and asks him, Lord, teach us to pray. No doubt they knew this about him. They saw this from him. He was a man of prayer. Though he was the Son of God and the Son of Man, he was a man of prayer. So as we look back at verse 1, we see that apparently it was a significant part also of the ministry of John the Baptist. Because notice what they asked, teach us to pray as John, that's talking about John the Baptist, also had taught his disciples to pray. In the ministry and the life of John, remember, he had disciples and he taught them how to pray as well. He had taught his disciples to pray as he practiced prayer in his life. What I want you to glean from that is our practice of prayer. Our practice of prayer is a part of our discipleship of others. It was a part of the discipleship of John to his disciples. And here we're seeing it was a part of the discipleship process for Jesus and his disciples, his followers. It is a part of our discipleship as well. It's a part of our discipleship, beloved, for our families and for our kids, good or bad. Men, listen very carefully. Isn't this what we want in our families? That as the members of our families watch us, listen to us pray, as we practice prayer, that God would stir in them a desire to pray. Don't ever lose sight of how important, how impactful the practice of prayer, the very practice of prayer can have on others around you. How impactful it is. And I even think about this for my own life as a pastor, to be reminded of the practice of prayer in discipling God's people. See, I believe it was an accumulation. All those passages we just went back to, it's an accumulation of all the times that they knew and they heard and they saw Jesus going and get alone and pray and spend all night and just spend time with the Father in prayer, that this is what eventually moves their heart to come ask this question. They wanted what he had because they saw it, they heard it. They saw the pattern of his life, the practice of his life. And I'm sure for them also it struck them how different he prayed. Especially compared to the ritualistic prayers that they would have been taught. They see something different in him. They see him praying from his heart. They see him praying to the Father. They see him pouring out his heart to the Father. They're hearing his petitions. They're hearing what he's praying about. They would see and hear an intimacy that he had with the Father. I thought about a godly woman by the name of Susanna Wesley. We know more about her, a couple of her sons, John and Charles Wesley, and the way God used them in furthering his work here in the church. But those men learned it first and foremost from their mamas, their mama. The influence she had on their life. These two men and all their other siblings as well, they got to watch her pray, listen to her pray, talking to God, and it impacted their life because of her practice of prayer. So, beloved, never ever forget this important lesson, the lesson of the very practice and the pattern of prayer in your life. For your own spiritual growth in the Lord and for you to have an impact on others around you as you pray. There's a second lesson I want us to see this morning. I call it the pursuit of prayer. The pursuit of prayer. Now, some of you may even think, do we even need to learn to pray? Learn how to pray? I mean, can't we just pray and talk to God any way we want to? I mean, isn't God just pleased with that? Well, yes and no. Yes, He is. God wants us just to come talk to Him. He does want us just to come share our hearts with him. But no as well to that question. I mean, just think about Jesus himself. Jesus himself taught where you should pray, when you should pray, how you should pray, why you should pray, what you should pray, who you should pray to. I mean, Jesus taught all those aspects about prayer. And Jesus would say, here's where you need to go and pray, and don't go over here and pray. He would say, you can ask for this, but don't ask for that. So clearly then, it does matter that we learn to pray. And please notice also, they're not just asking him, Lord, teach us about prayer. They're saying, Lord, teach us to pray. That we will actually put these things into practice. Give us what we need so that when we go and talk to God, we know what we're doing as well. There needs to be, beloved, on the flip side of the practice of prayer, there must be the pursuit of prayer. By pursuit, I mean you have a hunger, you have a desire to pray. Thus, you have a hunger and desire to learn and to grow in prayer. This is what we see from Jesus' disciples here in verse 1. That after he had finished this time alone in prayer, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. What a valuable lesson of how we are to pursue. We are to actually pursue learning to grow in our prayer life. Let me give you some ways to do that this morning. The first one's the same one we see from these men. If you truly have a pursuit to pray and to learn how to pray, the first thing I would encourage you to do is ask the Lord Jesus Christ for help. Do what these men did. Just go ask him. Now, we can't ask him in person, but we can ask him by prayer. As we're studying the Gospel of Luke, as we just did, we have seen that Jesus throughout his life, though he is the Son of God and truly God, he is also the Son of Man. He's truly man. And in his manhood, in his humanity, he has depended on the Lord. He's depended on the Lord, his Father. He's depended on the Spirit of God in prayer. Thus, we should be asking him, Lord, teach us to pray. Let me ask you some questions. Is it God's will that you pray? Is it God's will that you continue to learn to pray? Are we supposed to pray God's will? Does God delight in answering our prayers when we come to him in agreement with his will? And obviously the answer to all those questions is yes. A resounding yes. Well, if that's the case, then let's ask him. You know, maybe we have not because we ask not. I mean, eventually these guys needed to do what they did. Come ask him. That's part of their problem at times. When they don't understand something or they need to know something better, they need to come ask him. And thankfully, they did hear him. I want to plead with you. Go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help you and to teach you how to pray. Secondly, in the pursuit of prayer, as we see with these men, I want to encourage you to be intentional about paying attention to prayers in the Scriptures. Pay attention when you come across prayers in the Scriptures. Pay attention to what they say. For an example, let me just kind of walk you through a little exercise. I'm an example of this. Go over to the book of Ephesians for just a moment. Just go to the book of Ephesians. You could probably just do a study on the prayers of the Apostle Paul. And that would help you tremendously in praying. And just listen to Paul. You're going to see he had a life of prayer. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 15 down to verse 19. Listen to this, Paul, what Paul says about prayer. He says, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what I'm praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe." Paul's saying, like, this is what I'm praying for you, and I do it without ceasing. I'm giving thanks. I'm making mention of you. Look over in chapter 3 of Ephesians for just a moment. In verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you." He's saying, this is what I'm going to bow on my knees. I'm praying to the Father on your behalf. I want him to grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Think about that, beloved. Is there something in your own heart and then people that you know, you're saying, I really wish they would know more of the love of Christ in their life? Pray it. That's what Paul's asking. See, we can take these prayers of Paul. If you want to learn how to pray, watch godly men like Paul and how they're praying. Look over in the book of Philippians for just a moment. Philippians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 9, "And this I pray," here's what I pray, "I pray your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." This is what I'm praying. We could go over to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 12. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. Paul is saying, I'm striving, I'm agonizing on your behalf in prayer. And beloved, I just bring those two as a few examples as a way that you need to pursue prayer in your life. The pursuit of prayer is by, when you get into God's Word, and when we see things like Luke chapter 11 that's talking about prayer, and you see these prayers that are here in Scripture, pay special attention to them to see how you can then begin to incorporate those into your prayer life. Thus, you can know then how to pray. You're learning to pray through reading the prayers in Scripture. You're asking the Lord Jesus Christ to help you, but you're also being proactive yourself. You're going to be looking for it in the Word of God. But thirdly, let me give you a third way of pursuing prayer, and that is just by listening to how others pray. I mean, in some sense, that's what we have here with the disciples. The way they got to watch Jesus, listen to Jesus, and hear him pray, it was different. That's why they would say, Lord, teach us to pray, because how we hear you praying is, that's foreign to us. And that's what we want. You need to listen sometimes to how others pray. As I thought about this, it reminded me of one particular gentleman. His name was James Roskopf. Dr. Roskopf was one of my professors at the seminary, and he was the professor that taught every single student on prayer, and he was the right person to teach it because he lived it. He practiced it. I can tell you, for me, Dr. Roskopf always seemed like he just came out of the presence of God. As he led the class each time in prayer, there was just something different about it. There was something different about his prayers. It was different than anything I had ever grown up with listening to and hearing. but he was a man who regularly spent hours in prayer, hours in the Word of God. And beloved, it just came pouring out of his life when he prayed. It just came pouring out of his life. Oh, beloved, if you're really serious about pursuing how to pray, ask the Lord Jesus Christ. Look for it in Scripture. Listen to others who seem to pray well. But let me give you one other way to pursuing prayer, just how to pray. And that is by just reading some good books. Reading maybe good biographies of men on prayer. I can just tell you this, any book of biography you can find on the man by the name of George Mueller will inspire you to grow in prayer. It's going to convict you, because this was a man who supported every aspect of his life and every aspect of his ministry by prayer. He just prayed. This lesson on the pursuit of prayer that we see here in verse 1 of our text back in chapter 11 is vital to our growth in prayer. Remember, beloved, we need to be hungering after God. And if we're hungering after God, then we're going to be hungering after God's Word, and we're going to be hungering after prayer. They all go together. So the pursuit of prayer that we see here in our text by the disciples and coming to Jesus and asking Him to teach them to pray. But there's a third lesson I want us to see this morning. Look back in chapter 11 of Luke in verse 1. Where it says, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place. And the third lesson is the place of prayer. The place of prayer. Luke has simply told us Jesus went to a certain place to pray on this occasion. As we look back on each of those occasions we talked about earlier, Luke chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 9, no matter where Jesus was, no matter where He was, if He was close to the wilderness or if He was close to a mountainside, my point is Jesus would find a place to pray. And it also seems like He had a regular place He would go when He could. Because as it tells us in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 18, in verse 2, that when Judas betrayed Him that night, Judas knew where to find Him. Because it says He would often go there. And no doubt He would go there to spend time in prayer with His disciples and spend time in prayer with His Father alone. In fact, look for just a moment. Look over in Luke chapter 22. Look over in Luke chapter 22. When Jesus comes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, it tells us in verse 39, and He came out and proceeded as was His custom. You notice? It was His custom to go to the Mount of Olives. Because I believe it was His custom to go there and pray. Again, that's why Judas knew this is where we'll find Him. It's not going to be hard. I can tell you exactly where He's going to be. This man is a man of prayer. And he and some of His disciples, they're going to be there. So just show up there and you'll find Him. Because it was His custom to go and pray. To find this place. You see, beloved, I go back and in Luke chapter 4, we were told there it was His custom growing up. And even as He started His ministry to go where? To the synagogues for the ministry of the Word. And now in Luke chapter 22, we see it was His custom to go and find a certain place where He could pray and be alone with the Father and be alone with His disciples and leading them in praying. It is true, we should be praying throughout the day. But I do think there is a lesson here for us of just finding a place to pray where we can completely focus on the Lord in His Word and in prayer. Let me take you for a moment back to Susanna Wesley. This was a godly woman who had to find a place and find time to pray, where she could spend time with the Lord in prayer and time with the Lord in His Word. And she was an extremely busy woman. As a mother, as a wife, she was an extremely busy mother and wife because God had blessed her with 10 children. She homeschooled all 10, and she homeschooled them well. She kept her home well. She even worked the land that came with their parsonage because her husband was in the pastorate and the ministry. And he didn't help her out much in those ways, but she would also work the land as well. And she had a hard life. If I remember correctly, though she had 10 children, she had lost 9 children at infancy. She had lost 2 sets of twins at infancy. As I said, her husband was a minister, but he wasn't the best of ministers, and he wasn't very liked. He was strongly disliked. They had a parsonage, and on 2 occasions, it was burned to the ground. That's not liking somebody. You don't need to come burn my house. Just ask me, and I'll get out. And yet, she made time. She found a way. She found a place for her to spend time with the Lord in prayer. Here's what she would do. At some point in the day, she would go sit in a chair. And when she would sit in that chair, she would somehow take her apron and she could raise it above her head. And it was like, I'm shutting everything off. And with her Bible and her apron above, it was the signal to her children and everyone in her household, Mama is now in prayer with the Lord. She's spending time with Him. She's praying to the Lord. She's praying for us. She's praying for Daddy. She's praying for lost people. She is spending time with Him. That's how she found, that was her place to pray. Now, beloved, my point in that story is not to heap a bunch of guilt on moms, on anyone else here to do exactly what Susanna Wesley did. Except this, my point is, she simply did what her Savior did. In the busyness and the demands of His life, He made it a point to find a place to pray, to spend time with His Father. And Susanna Wesley, in doing that, was doing that which was necessary for her. She just did what was necessary for her. That is to go find a place to spend time with the Savior in prayer and not at the expense of all of her other responsibilities. So, beloved, maybe this week you can think about a place for yourself, a place for you that you can go and spend time with the Lord in prayer. As the Lord Jesus Christ would see as He went to this certain place, as He often would do, to pray. Now let me introduce you to the fourth lesson. It's the principle of prayer, the principles of prayer. Go back to Luke chapter 11. They've asked Jesus this question, Lord, teach us to pray. So now in verse 2, He's answering that question. And in answering that question, He's teaching them really how to pray. Because He says, when you pray, saying, here's how I want you to pray. You've asked to learn to pray. Here's how to pray. But now when He says that in verse 2, when you pray, say, and then He says, Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. He's not presenting that to them in a way of saying, repeat these words. He's teaching them how to pray. That is, this is not a mandated formula that when you sit down to pray, you need to just repeat these words to the Lord. No, we know that because, as I said, from verses 5 through 13, he's still teaching them how to pray. He's still teaching them how to pray. Not only that, if you take a moment, look over in chapter 6 of Matthew. On another occasion, Jesus had taught very similar principles about prayer, but it is different. It has a little more detail. In Matthew chapter 6, it tells us in verse 9, "Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." Here he was teaching very similar, he was really teaching the same principles about prayer. But you notice he's not asking then for you to memorize the prayer in order just to recite it back to him. It's not exactly the same. It's not a mantra to be repeated. It's a model to be remembered. Just remember that. The prayer that we're studying here in Luke 11 is not a mantra to you to repeat back to God. It is a model of prayer to be remembered, to help guide you, teach you. In fact, back in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus gave the very similar principles, it was in the context of him there telling them, look, God's not looking for vain, meaningless repetition of prayers. He's not looking for a lot of words. He's not looking for you to recite something back to him. But what God is desiring and wanting from us when we pray are the principles of prayer that Jesus teaches here in our passage in Luke chapter 11 from verses 2 down to verse 13. And let me just lay out that there are 6 principles of prayer so that whenever you pray, you can begin to incorporate these into your prayers to the Lord so that you know how to pray. 6 principles of prayer. I'll walk through the 6 with you, and this is what we'll come back in the weeks ahead, and we'll start going through these together. The first principle of prayer is what I call the perspective of your prayer. And it comes there in the very first word, Father. Just in that word, Father, that is going to drive your perspective about the prayer, who you're talking to. Is very significant because what we're going to discover is coming to God and referring to Him as Father was not common. It was not taught. And yet Jesus is teaching them when you come to God, you're referring, you're thinking about Him, and your perspective is, this is my Father. Second principle of prayer is your priorities in prayer. And they are there at the rest of chapter of verse 2. Hallowed be your name and your kingdom come. This is your priority. These are your priorities in prayer. His name and His kingdom. My perspective is He's my Father. My priority is about His name and His kingdom when I'm praying. Thirdly, we'll find the principles of prayer and the petitions of our prayers. Verse 3 and 4, give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Let me just kind of lay this out for you. The petitions he's saying here is you're going to be praying about faith, fellowship, and faithfulness. 3 of the major areas of petition when you're coming to the Lord in order to prioritize His name and His kingdom is you're going to be praying about faith, you're going to be praying about fellowship, you're going to be praying about faithfulness. Your faith in the Lord, your fellowship with the Lord and with his people, and the faithfulness, your faithfulness and your walk with the Lord. And we're going to find out also when we go through this, you're not just praying this about yourself, but notice there, each one of those petitions says us. So we're supposed to have a concern for everybody around us. My prayers are supposed to be as much focused on you as they're focused on me. But first, focusing on him. We tend, well, let's just say I tend to focus more on me, then probably him, and then you. And the Lord is going to teach us about that. Fourth principle of prayer we'll find is the persistence of our prayers. Persist. That's the story he tells in verses 5 through 8 about coming to the friend's house and saying, why is this friend going to get up, though he's already in the bed with his children, and what that would mean back then? He's going to get up, not because he's his friend. He's just going to get up because of his persistence. And he'll give him what he needs. Then verse 9 and 10, when he says about asking, keep on asking, seek, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. I think there he's going to be teaching us the principle of the perseverance in our prayers. I think we may find sometimes we can be persistent at first, but as far as can we persevere? Do we have the faith to just keep persevering through in prayer? And the final principle, I think, I call it the promise. The promise of prayer. Because if God's our Father, does he promise not then to give us what's best for us? Does he not promise to give us what's good for us? As Jesus says here, look, if you come to a father and ask him for a fish, if your child comes to you and asks you for a fish, are you going to give him a snake? No. Well, we're evil, and we know how to give our children good gifts. Well, then we should know our Heavenly Father knows how to give us good gifts. And that is a principle of prayer we need to remember in our own heart and our own life. But how about this in our closing this up today? How about you do this upcoming week? In your pursuit of prayer, I want to encourage you throughout this week, keep on asking the Lord to teach you to pray. Keep asking him. And in your pursuit of prayer, I would encourage you to go back and read and meditate on these 13 verses this week. Remember, one of the ways we pursue prayer is by being intentional and coming to places where Scripture speaks about prayer. That's where we are. That's how you can actually apply this week. Secondly, as far as the practice of prayer, how about this? How about just commit each day to spend an extra 5 or 10 minutes in prayer? Now, maybe for some of us, that means our prayer life will grow to 5 or 10 minutes. Whatever it may be, just begin to practice prayer. Ask God to help you to pray. Spend time thinking about the prayer, what Jesus said, and just talk to God for 5 or 10 minutes at least throughout this week. As far as a place of prayer, if you don't already have one, prayerfully think about a place to pray. Just think about a place where you can pray and be alone with the Lord. And then finally, in regards to the principles of prayer, I would encourage you to start memorizing verses 2 through 4. Again, not memorizing to recite it back as a mantra, but memorizing this, because in this contains these important principles of prayer for you and for me. So you begin to know, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. All these things that God wants from us about your faithfulness, about your fellowship, about your faith, about his name, his kingdom, your relationship with him. So I would plead with you, encourage you to do these five things throughout this week. So as we prepare for that, I'm going to ask you now to bow your head in prayer. And even now, begin to ask the Lord to help you to pray. Gracious God, Lord, we know that prayer is something all of us can do. But Lord, you know it is difficult for us because of our flesh. It's weak. We have an enemy that fights against us, and the devil. Lord, we just ask you to help us to pray. Help us to desire to pray. Help us to learn to pray. Help us to practice prayer. Grow us, Lord, in our love for you, our hunger for you, that we may show that through our hunger for prayer. Lord, bless your word this day for your glory and the hallowing of your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.